And we're back, Comics Weekend, here at the Pittsburgh Independent Comics Festival. Sitting here with Kevin Huizenga, Jim Rugg eating a power bar, holding back the crowds. It's a thinner crowd now with 15 minutes left to go on the Saturday afternoon. And how many signing autographs there, Jimmy?
200.
200. You signed 200. Come on, let's be serious here for a second. Is that girl still typing? Or is she, you hear her typing? I don't know if you folks at home can hear. She's typing. She's working right now. Yeah.
Beginning, like it's a news,
yeah, report. I could get like a news report or something. And Tom Scioli is drawing away. He showed me his fake New Gods, fake Kirby, his Gods and Men series. Looks pretty good. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. But you know, he's going back to 1974. He's not going to Hunger Dogs. So, but I don't know. You know, seems like a successful show. You know, you can tell by my voice that I'm super excited. I don't want to give the impression that this show was not well attended or anything. When we started podcasting earlier in the day. There was nobody here, but, you know, we had a pretty decent crowd. It wasn't so bad. And we had other panels scheduled, but we never even made it down for them. We just forgot about them. I don't think anybody noticed. But
I didn't see a panel schedule. So.
You didn't see a panel schedule?
No. So I don't know, like, how people wandering through would know what was going on with panels.
I don't think anybody cares. But that's okay. You know, that's okay. That's okay. Because, you know, it's a beautiful day outside. And, boy, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sorry. Because you must really have nothing better to do. Woo! This is when, you know, as much as, like, SPX or Mocha can be a grind, it's like... At least it's a, you know, show until the end of, and then when it's over, everybody's stuck in Bethesda or whatever it is, and y'all kind of have to hang out with each other, you know, so. I don't know what we're doing after this, but I'm going to get fucked up, man. Give me some sort of substance to abuse, brother. So,
Did you ever eat those brownies?
Yes. They were good. Yeah. Kevin's making a sale. Kevin's selling a Ganges. It's happening. He is making a sale. Late in the game, 2-minute warning has been sounded. And Kevin Huizenga making a sale. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! So what else is going on, Jimmy?
Nothing. I'm not sure what to make of this.
Not sure what to make of this.
No, I think the show looked really nice.
Would you guys like a free girl ninja comic? Free girl ninja comic right here. Free girl ninja. No pressure. It's only free. Thank you. So, did you see anything good? A couple things, yeah. Talk to anybody?
Try to talk to some people. Talk to Matt Wiggle.
You know he's engaged.
I did not know that. That's good. To Sally?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't know that. He didn't mention that part.
Yeah, well, she's been talking about it, so I think she's broadcasting. So if you didn't know, now you know.
Is that Sally?
That's Sally.
I've never met her.
You've never met her.
I know Aaron, because I think they co-edit.
No, we just found out that Aaron has quit the Always Comics anthology and is now Sally. So they've broken up.
Why did Aaron quit?
I think because she's building a house, from what I understand. So she's busy. You know. All right, we're going to try to talk to Kevin Huizenga. Kevin, he's going to start eating his oats and honey bar. Well, too late, Kevin, because the fans want to know what's happening. They want to know what's happening here with you.
I want to know what's happening, too.
Did you sell some Ganges today?
Yes.
How about some Wild Kingdoms?
Yes.
How about some curses?
One.
So which books are these? Are these Bill's books, your books, or John and Corley's books?
These are Bill's books.
So yeah. Did you sell any of your own work here?
It's going to be interesting to anyone. Did I sell some of my own?
No, see, this is the real conflict, because I think, well, you know, a lot of times you show up at a signing and you're signing at your publishers or something, and then you have your own books, and then who gets the money? You know, what's up with that?
It all comes out in the wash.
That's a good way of looking at it. That's a good way of looking at it. But so you got your Ganges here. Is this the new issue of Ganges that has just been released, or is this something, or is this, that's an old one?
There's only three of them.
Oh, I saw the cover on your blog, so that's still years away. Months. Months away.
Yeah, maybe next summer.
So what's Tom Devlin really like, Kevin? Let's get right to it.
Just a delight.
Seems like a very sincere person.
Chewing.
Kevin's chewing. He's not going to answer that question. I think, you know, without Tom, there's, you know, I think art comics don't exist in the 2000s. I think he invented them, don't you? I just read that thing. If there's no Cooper Skeeber, there's no Kramer's Ergo. Changed the face of comics. Tom Devlin. Single-handedly.
I'll leave that for the critics to decide.
The critics or the historians? Big difference there, babe.
No, I think criticism should be more like history. Historians and critics should be more alike. Yeah.
Well, I think what's funny is that, from what I understand, that's what a lot of comics historians are getting shit for, is that they're really just historians and they're not critics. What do you say about that?
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, well, you know, there's like real critics that, like, you know, went to grad school and, you know, read Derrida and all that shit, and then there's you know, just historians who it's just kind of fanboy, just the facts kind of stuff. So they don't really they're not critical of the work. They're just they just kind of document the history of that. So there's a little bit of that.
Well, I think there's this idea that, like, the proper job of critics is to, like, judge and evaluate. But I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that's secondary. I think the primary purpose of a critic is to illuminate what they're writing about, is to make it more clear, make it more understandable, put it in its proper context, do a reading of it that, you know, lays bare some meaning in it.
Because I read on the Comics Journal that, you know, Popeye is just kind of shallow entertainment, is from what I read. You know, the Comics Journal says so.
Yeah, I think that's what they said. Yeah,
it's funny that they would say that, especially since Fantagraphics publishes the Popeye collections. I always find that's funny, don't you? But it's like Fantagraphics will put out a book and then the Comics Journal just rips it to shreds. Like, they have to do that. Like, what is that necessary? Shouldn't they get a memo from somebody, you know?
I don't know. Gary's got to put his foot down.
I don't think I heard that he doesn't understand the internet. I don't think he actually reads the blog. I'm talking like three people out there. There's like three people who are still with me. If you're still listening to this, God bless you. I love you. You're with me. True believer. So we're looking at what's this? This is a Ted May comic.
How many hours of tape do you think you have?
That's digital, so I got room. What do you think? So talk us about, like, Ted May gossip. Did we already go over this? Ted May gossip. Not bitter.
Does he have a Maximum Rock and Roll?
Maximum Rock and Roll. They still publish that?
Yeah.
That's still coming out?
No.
Maximum Rock and Roll and Comet Bus. You know, Comet Bus came out before Maximum Rock and Roll. And Aaron thought that they'd never pass him an issue number. Now Maximum Rock and Roll is on like 300 or whatever. But, so no Ted May gossip. Do you see him? You don't see him.
See him every so often.
What's the, you know, that St. Louis club picture? of you guys sitting around like Christmas time. That's pretty intense. Do you guys really dress up like that?
Oh, that I. You mean that Dan? Dan had a Christmas, a winter formal party.
Yeah.
You saw that?
Yeah, that was on the blog.
Oh, yeah. I guess we'll have another one probably this winter.
You guys look like serious cartoonists. That's like a serious. You guys look serious.
It's nice to wear a tie every couple years.
Yeah. But I mean, no girls at that party.
Yeah, there were girls at that party.
It was only a picture of guys.
That's because it was just a picture of the guys.
They were all the girls were in the kitchen. What are you saying, Kevin?
They were behind the camera.
They were all taking a picture. So what else? What else do you have to say for the fans out there?
Thank you for listening to Frank. He really appreciates it.
Yes, I do appreciate it. That's wonderful. So, we're winding down here at the Pittsburgh International Comics Festival. Pittsburgh Independent Comics Festival. Beautiful day. Sun is shining. Weather is sweet. Makes you want to move your dancing feet. Helps if you have some alcohol, marijuana, cocaine, mescaline. I never tried that. You ever try that? Mescaline? I thought that's like a salad. Isn't that salad, mescaline? What's the difference? Mescaline, mescaline. I'm always confused by that. Mescaline's like a salad. M-E-S-C-L-U-N. Mescaline. And then there's mescaline. Huh? That's peyote.
Oh.
That makes you throw up. I've done that. But then, that's like a whole ritual thing. It's not like you, eat some cactus and trip. Like, it's, serious work. You got to, hang out with this Indian lady for, the whole night. And run, 50 other people.
That's interesting.
I'm just putting the microphone over to Kevin for a reaction. This is fun. I'm talking to 3 of you people. So we were talking last night. So new comics that you do not read. You go to the new comic store every week, but you do not read any new comics necessarily.
No.
So King City, not on your radar.
If somebody maybe
I'm going to lend them to you.
Yeah.
I would like Prison Pit on your radar.
Is it on my radar?
You said you just read it, so.
Yes, it's on. Yes, I read it.
I'm just going down the list here,
Wait. I don't know. I do my best, but there's stuff,
You don't have to be interested in everything, I have a blog. I have to know about this stuff.
Yeah.
Who do you like nowadays? Who you keeping your eye on? Anybody?
I like Dane Martin's comic.
Dane Martin. Tell us about Dane Martin.
He went to CCS. He draws these little comics that sort of like Dr. Seuss, sort of like old Disney cartoons, but they're about sad dogs and chancellor cops and gooses and geese and horses.
And where does Dane live? What scene is he a part of?
I think he lives in the upper Midwest.
The upper Midwest. What is that, Minnesota?
No, I don't, Michigan.
Michigan. So he might be hanging out with Tom Kay, but that's a state away.
No, I don't think he's hanging out with Tom Kay.
Okay, so what do you do in Michigan if you're a cartoonist? Have a blog.
What do you do if you're a cartoonist?
I don't know. For me, it's always cartooning scenes. You gotta write on your mini comic where you're from, because if you just have your website, I don't know what scene you're from.
These kids, they all have live journals and Facebooks.
Yeah, but they still are in a city where there are other cartoonists and they're drawing with other people, right? So there's a St. Louis scene, there's a Pittsburgh scene, there's a Brooklyn scene, but they never put their address on their comics. So how the hell I know where it's from?
Yeah, you remember those days of addresses and their,
yeah,
a plug?
Yeah, and that was important.
You'd put plugs in your mini comic?
Right, I learned everything from Chester Brown.
Whatever happened to plugs?
Right, well, yeah, right.
Links.
Right. Well, now it's like the very, like, you know, the Discord record style of thank you and plugs. You just put thanks and then your website or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you like look and see who they thanked, and then you're like, oh, who are they friends with?
Kinda. But I mean, like,
thanks all the time is Sammy. Sammy Harcum gets thanked by everybody.
Because they all want to be in Kramer's.
Is that what you think?
I think so. I think people get really miffed, you know, like, oh, I didn't get asked to be in the Kramer's. I know Dash was pissed. He didn't get asked for that big one. He was going to fight Sammy. He was going to kick his ass. So I told Sammy, better put Dash in that Kramer's.
That's unfortunate.
I'm kidding. Jesus Christ, I'm kidding.
Oh, that's really...
Let's talk about... Who can we gossip about? Come on.
Dan Nadel.
Dan Nadel, yes. Good choice. Good choice. Dan's in San Francisco right now at the Ape Alternative Press Expo. He's across the hall from Alvin, and they're making faces at each other.
Maybe.
It's possible. You know, there's bad blood between them.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Dan, like, you know... gave Alvin a piece of his mind at a MoCA one year in front of everybody, and ever since then it's been a troubled friendship, but you know, that's okay. Things happen, you know. It's really because whenever anybody mentions other publishing houses in America, they have to lump Picturebox and Buenaventura together somehow. That was like, I never understood that, because Buenaventura, as much as I love them, published about like, what, three comics? I think they published three comics. Yeah, Buenaventura had, you know, Ted's injury, how the hell did you say that? Aviatrix. And then Lisa Hannawalt.
Johnny Ryan's.
Cartoon Holiday. So they got four books.
New character.
New, what?
Johnny Ryan's New Character Parade.
Cartoon Holocaust? Yeah, New Character Parade. I wanted to commission some Cartoon Holocaust for cartoonists that I despise. What do you think about that?
Jerry
Moriarty, but that was a collection. I mean, that's fair. I'm just saying, you know.
I'm sure I'm forgetting other ones.
Right. But it's just, you know. I mean, they're, you know, great imprint. But it's just, you know, like every time... It's like if you mentioned Buenaventura, you had to mention Picturebox. If you mentioned Picturebox, you had to mention Buenaventura. I mean, that's fine.
Is there a phrase about that? Like the small tyranny of small differences or something like that? Where it's like, you know, the people who have the smallest differences, not tyranny, but like hostility or...
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's just like... When you talk about art comics, well, I don't know how to make another analogy, but it's just I always found that a little annoying, but whatever. But now I guess we have to say Pigeon Press and Picture Box. See, he changed the name just to be closer so they could be easier to say.
You're probably right.
Yeah. What else is going on? So what other guys? So let's talk about Dan. Look at any good Dan stories? Do you ever have to share a room with that guy? Dan Nadel.
Oh, I don't. Well, I stayed at his apartment one time. I stayed at his
apartment. Oh, yeah, that's right. You and Katie visited. But that's when he was married. That was a whole different era.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't ever speak German in front of him.
I remember he put on a Wilco album on his record player for us to listen to.
Ah, it might have been the one that he designed and won a Grammy for. Well, he didn't technically design it. He had help. But he won a Grammy for it.
That's amazing.
That was a different part of town than he lived in.
And didn't Dean Hashbeal win an Emmy?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But then he's really mad about this whole Brooklyn Comics Festival thing.
Grammys in comics.
Grammys? Well, Dan. Dan.
Dan Klaus was...
Did Dan Klaus win an Emmy?
For an Academy Award.
He was?
I think for the Ghost World script.
For the screenplay?
Yeah, I think so.
That's interesting.
Any Tonys?
The Spider-Man musical might win a Tony. That could be interesting. Do you ever watch 30 Rock?
Yeah.
So he's wearing that what's it called? The Emmy Tony ergot. Like it's a ergot? No, it's a that's a crew. What is that? Oh, Jesus. Who else can we gossip about? Tom Spurgeon. The guy that threatens to come to every comic book convention and then never comes. I think the only comic convention I've ever seen him at was Heroes, like 2007? 2008.
This should be a roast.
Tom Spurgeon roast. Most loved comics commentator, Tom Spurgeon. Everybody loves Tom. But boy, don't get Tom on your bad side. Boy, he'll rip you to shreds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to be careful then.
Yeah, you better watch out. So what cartoons can you talk shit on? Come on, I want to hear you talking shit.
I don't talk shit to tape.
Who don't you like? Come on, somebody dead.
Somebody dead that I don't
know. Go ahead, you could just rip on some poor dead cartoonist that you hate. Now, why you don't understand why everybody loves Wally Wood? What the fuck?
There's no fun in that.
There's nobody that you go through the back issues and you're like, this guy sucks. Come on.
I don't know. I think about it.
Jose Luis Garcia Lopez.
You know, if I think they suck, I don't ever think about them. So then I don't.
See, I have that problem where I get fixated on the things that I dislike sometimes more than.
Atari Force?
Yeah, he's good. Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, yeah. Atari Force, yeah, he's good.
Atari Force, I like that.
Yeah, that was a good one. But then the more that I look at him, the more I realize he used photo references, so it's a little... I still like him, but it's tough because it's the medium focus. The way, if you're following along at home, the way you can tell photo referencing is the medium focus. Every shot on the page is a medium focus. It's like you can imagine the guy in his apartment posing his friends on the couch and stuff like that. That's how you can tell.
Pete Craig Russell.
I kind of like him. He's okay.
Yeah, I kind of like some of his...
His opera stuff, yeah. His Red Dog and all the stuff he did in the
80s. I remember really liking Red Dog.
Kipling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. But then, you know, this is the other thing I don't understand, is when you have a... If you're a cartoonist and you have an art book, it has to be the art of Jaime Hernandez, the art of P. Craig Russell, the art of Frank Frazetta. Well, that's what people say, is that it would just say the comics of, but the art of, usually that is just showing pages of their comic, like the best pages, or a you know, and so when you pick up a Picasso book, it doesn't say the art of Pablo Picasso. Like, what the hell, you know, P. Craig Russell doesn't play, you know, chess, so it's not like the chess strategies of P. Craig Russell, it's the, you know, the art of... I never understand. Can you explain that to me, to Kevin?
I don't know. It's also weird how they say "and history."
And history. What do you mean?
Like before the word history, they always put "and" instead of "a." Like history is incorrect.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And history. And history.
Yeah, yeah. I never understand that either. Actually, there was something I saw that recently. I was like, "Why is that "and"?" Yeah. But then, I don't know. Come on, you know what? There's no cartoons you dislike. Come on. Come on. Somebody dead. Like, you got to be like, why does everybody like Mort Drucker?
You know, there's a certain direction that superhero comics went in, like, the 70s. That's like the Neil Adams style, and then the influence that Neil Adams had on other artists. You know, like the early Sienkiewicz and... that kind of thing. I was always kind of interested in that. When I would read superhero comics, I'd be like, what is up with this? Is this good or not? I could never figure it out. And then, but now I have no time at all for that kind of, you know, like crazy angles and crazy like panel shapes and crazy, you know, it's like prog rock kind of. Like,
yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I'm starting to think that the grid... and some variation of the grid, for the most part, is like the truth mirror of comics. Like, you know, if you need funky, goofy layouts to make it interesting, then I don't know. You know, I'm starting to be skeptical. I'm starting to, like, really look down upon wacky layouts. As much as I love, like, I'm the biggest layout freak. I could compare Neil Adams layouts to Gil Kane layouts all day. But
European dude who does those kind of science fiction comics where everything looks like it has, like, metal hooks on it.
Geiger?
These, like, Belial? No.
Like, his frames look like that?
Yeah, his frames would have these shapes.
It's
there'd be these crazy, like, buildings in the background that were all, like...
It might be Anki B-I-L-A-L or B...
No, I don't think that's who it is.
It's not Ben?
Because doesn't he do that, like, soft stuff with, like, the... you know, as people have, like, the heads of Egyptian gods.
Yeah.
That's not that guy.
No. That's the Rand Xerox. It's like airbrush looking? I don't know. Honestly, my European cartooning knowledge is pretty lacking. I'm embarrassed. I like three things in Europe. But because, you know, everybody in Europe's a conifer. You know that, right?
I don't know. I always feel like we don't get enough French stuff translated. There's probably, like, a lot of great French stuff that we're not.
There's a lot of stuff, but, it's funny because I spent the entire day once at Angoulême trying to find something that I considered not in the Milton Caniff school, and it was nearly impossible.
Oh, I don't know that that's true, that you could find...
I couldn't, like, when I found...
Like, Sfar or something.
Sfar, but I'm just saying, okay, Sfar, okay, beyond Sfar and Blitz or whatever, like...
Kind of French guys who...
I'm just saying
what I'm interested in is I think that there's probably, like, you know, the superstars get translated, but there's probably a lot of, like, mid-level and even lower-level dudes who don't sell very well in France, and they'll probably never get translated into English because they don't even sell well in France.
Yeah, but that's but what's interesting really is that, like, I was, like, I'm just saying, like, I looked all day one day, all day, and the only thing I could find that was vaguely different than anything else was Bastien Vives, and the only thing I could find after that was anything interesting was... the Italian guy, Manuel Fiore.
You're talking about, like, mainstream stuff, like genre stuff?
No, I mean, just anything published by, like, these big publishers. Like, you know, because I was in, like, Independent Row or whatever at Angoulême. Yeah. And, you know, like, in the, like, what I consider independent comics there is, like, that was rough. Like, it's, I'm just saying, it's like everybody's a real, like, the conifer. They're all conifers. Kevin's shaking his head.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. But I, you know, I'm not going to argue with you, but...
I'm just saying it's hard to find. You'd be surprised. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's, like, Brecht Evans, who Drawn and Quarterly is...
Like
is
Hugo Pratt.
Yeah. Which, you know...
Over there.
I like Hugo Pratt, too, but, you know... I don't know.
Is that your money or my money?
I don't know. Hey,
Bill, is that my money or your
money? That's my money. Okay, I'm making money. Comic books, they're buying back issues. They're buying Ronin. Well, it's 5 o'clock here at the Comics Festival. Oh, Comics Festival. Whoops, I wish. It's the Pittsburgh Independent Comics Festival. Thank you, Frank Santoro, signing off. Kevin Heisinger, any parting words?
Seatbelts.
Jim Rugg, any parting words?
Stay golden, pony boy.
That's a good one. All right. Thank you, Comics readers, fans, listeners, whatever the fuck. And thank you for tolerating me for this day. And maybe I'll do some more tomorrow. But if not,
yeah,
thank
will.
You so much. Yeah, you know we will. We're going to be talking smack. You know.
I'm going to get completely fucked up, man.